Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop right on.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing good. It's not raining yet, so I can't complain.
No, how can you complain when it's got up at 4:30 this morning? It was 68 degrees.
Right? I thought I was being punked.
Yeah, so... So anyway, enjoy it while you can. It won't hang around long, and we'll be back into the 40s real soon. But I want to welcome my guest, and I hope I don't butcher your name, but you certainly can correct it for me, Mr. Chandran Nayor. Good morning,
good to
sir.
Be on your show, Al.
Pronounce it for us.
Chandran Nayor.
Let's talk a little bit about you. I know you've just written another book, Dismantling Global White Privilege, but Equity for a Post-Western World. Where are you from?
I was originally, I was born in Malaysia, but my parents come from India. They were migrants just before the Second World War. And so I was born in Malaysia, but I've traveled, had the privilege of traveling around the world. I've lived in Europe, I've worked in Africa for a few years, and then Thailand, Japan, and now I'm based between Hong Kong and Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia.
Wow, that is fascinating, because...
And I've been to your fair country, too.
Well I'm saying...
Many times.
So where are you located right now?
I'm based between Hong Kong is where I've have my prime office, my primary office, but I also have a home in Malaysia. And since December, I've been in Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur, in Malaysia.
So let me begin by it is amazing that you can talk about we live in America. In America, whites are the strong majority. You know, in this country, but across the world. They're only 10% of the global population. So they're certainly in America, you know, Europeans and whites control things because they're the majority in this country. But across the earth, they are strong. I mean, a very weak minority as far as numbers are concerned. You are talking about global white privilege. Let's begin by why. Why have you written this book? What precipitated you writing the book?
Well, thank you so much. First thing, let me just say I'm Marvin Gaye, and What's Going On is one of my favorite tunes. And
you know, it's amazing. You know, it's been 50 years, and I start my show all the time with that. And the lyrics of it, no greater song.
Yeah, and of course you'll know another, you know, just making the link with Black America and why someone like me, born in Malaysia, appreciated all of that. It's a longer story, but I'll come to your primary question. But, you know, I'm a big fan of Gil Scott-Heron and his
absolutely.
His songs.
Well, listen, I'm honored to have you on the line. It's a great opportunity to have dialogue. So tell us a little bit about, you know, why?
Yeah. So, you know, I've lived in Southern Africa. I was involved in the anti-apartheid movement. I've met people like Bishop Tutu and all of them during the struggle. And so much of my life has been devoted, though I've been in business, to the sort of social justice. But having had the opportunity to understand things beyond just an Asian perspective, I have many Black friends. Many friends around the world, and particularly friends from the United States as well. When George Floyd was murdered and that whole incident blew up and the whole world witnessed it, as someone with a bit of an international background, I was watching and thinking about it. And then, as you know, the Black Lives Matter movement sort of helped to bring it to the global attention. It spread across the world, but mainly from the United States to Europe, where there's all this talk about taking the statues down, looking back at history and things like that. And at that point, a few of us were having discussions here, and given my background, friends of me said, you need to say something about this. As much as Black Lives Matter is such an important struggle for black people in the United States, you need to point out, as you alluded to earlier, that this problem should not be sort of simply seen through the lens of the Black Lives Matter movement and then just cast in that way. This is a much bigger problem. And so I basically said, okay, I'm going to write something. I wrote a piece that basically said that Black Lives Matter is important, but it's the tip of the iceberg. Then essentially white privilege is woven into the fabric of globalization to the extent that many of us have become inured to it and just believe that's how the world operates. And so I wanted to provide a non-Western world perspective on this issue of white privilege, much of the narrative of which is being fashioned simply through the experience, an important experience, of black people in the United States and some of it in Europe as well. So that's what was the trigger for the book, and I wanted to provide the non-Western world with a clear understanding and being able to articulate things that many feel but have no context and narrative through which to explain it. So that was the catalyst
of
the book.
So I'm sure you are aware of where we are in America right now with the majority community challenging history and not wanting the history of this nation to be taught to children. They basically say that we don't want our children to feel bad about the history of what happened in this country. Well, what do you say about that?
Well, I think it depends how you teach history. If you teach history with the facts and with the point of understanding so that we can heal, then that's important. If you teach history purely from a point of view of dividing and being divisive and creating resentments, that's not the way anyone teaches anyway. So I think it's fundamentally important. If you want to shape the future, you need to understand the past. So I am aware of all the sort of anger and discussions in the United States about critical race theory, and that's a peculiar, you know, discussion you're having in your country. But history is critically important, and in this part of the world too. You know, many people in Southeast Asia, where I come from, the young generation, don't even know what happened in Vietnam. You know, that's 40 years ago. They don't even know that more bombs were dropped in Laos during 9 years by the United States military and Air Force than was dropped in the entire Second World War. So this is convenient for those who continue to maintain that there are certain good guys and bad guys. So I fundamentally believe history is critical, but it needs to be taught with the objective of informing the generations so that we don't make the same mistakes. We understand where we are, how we got here, and it's meant to create better societies, not resentment.
It's so timely, this book and this discussion, because right now with what's going on in Ukraine and there are many in our country who are bemoaning what Russia is doing, and I don't want anybody to misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm not supporting Russia in anything that they are doing, but we are condemning the bombing that is taking place as well. We should, but at the same time, you just pointed out what happened in Laos, and yet Americans don't know anything about that.
It's convenient not to know.
Well, yes, it's convenient not to know. And the sheer numbers of people that we slaughtered.
That's right.
Nobody wants to even give that a discussion. So is that at the root of all of those things you think, white privilege and, you know, colonialism, that, you know, that they did teach a little bit about colonialism, but from a sanitized version, is that what's at the root of these things?
Yeah, well, a couple of points I'd make. I wrote a piece 3 weeks ago at the invitation of one of the world's leading newspapers. It's Japanese, which owns the Financial Times. It's called Nikkei. And I think someone there felt the appreciation of the context in which there's outrage in Europe and the Western world. But the rest of the world, and like you, were not condoning Russia's invasion, but were also just surprised and aghast at where were all of these people when Iraq was being bombed,
right.
When you know when Yemen was being ripped apart, when Libya was being bombed to smithereens. Where were all these people? So my article was called that wars are evil only when white people are killed. And that got quite a bit of traction. And wars are only evil when the aggressors are non-Western armies, mainly the United States and its Western allies. So in the book, coming back to your question, I essentially dissect 9 spheres of the global world we live in, how it's shaped, which essentially allows for the perpetuation of what I call white privilege. I say that white privilege is the best way to understand how domination, oppression, and suppression by Western cultures globally, even today, operate and is perpetuated within countries and between countries with the key objective of sustaining economic superiority. So outside the United States, people like us, I wanted people to understand that the institutional frameworks of what's called the rules-based world order is not something to which the majority signed up. These rules were not made by us. And therefore, when you teach history, and there's a whole chapter on the telling of history.
So do me a favor. Can you hang on a second? I'm really honored to have you on the air. Mr. Shandar.
Nair.
844-967-2789 is the number. We've got to go to a break. We'll be right back.